on a, what day is it today? Friday.
Friday, brother. It's freaking Friday.
It's Freaky Friday. Ahead of St. Patrick's Day, ahead of conference tournament championship games, ahead of, that's about it. Anyway, that's Joshy DiMaggio. I'm Alex Roof with you. It's Mr. Irrelevant, episode 227 with you on this Friday. Producer Tiny Ann's Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Will Summers is here. He's shoving his face, though. I don't know if we'll hear from him today as we get into a lot of things. We have a great show planned for you today. I say that every day, but
I'll be the judge of that.
I really mean it today. We're going to talk free agency. We're going to talk a little college hoops. It's the best time of the year in college hoops. We are going. I have an unbelievable nugget for you, which I'm going to try to provide you with a few of before next Thursday when the NCAA tournament begins. I'm just going to fire nuggets at you just so you know what to watch for. I've got an all-time one today. And then we will do a little What We Learn. We've got some good What We Learns planned today. So we will get into all that ahead. But we got to start with this because it really bothered me, to be honest with you. It bothered me because Eric Stokes, who is now a member of the Las Vegas Raiders, took a shot at my hometown, Joshy. Took a shot at my hometown of Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I grew up.
He's proud of his town.
I'm proud of my town. Here is new Raiders cornerback Eric Stokes talking about his excitement to join the Las Vegas Raiders.
I ain't gonna lie, yeah. I ain't even sugarcoat it to you. Yeah, Green Bay is different. I love Green Bay. I absolutely love Green Bay. But after about 10 o'clock, there's nothing else to eat in Green Bay. So I'm really excited for like the food options here that I can really show my big back activities. And yeah, so I just can't wait.
All right, so let's start here. I am not here to deny the fact that Las Vegas, Nevada, one of the biggest tourist cities in the United States of America, has more of a diverse food selection than little old Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am not here to deny that fact. But
seems dangerously close.
Why is Eric Stokes' first thought, yeah, I can't eat past 10 p.m.? World-class athletes are supposed to have world-class diets. And I'm not very familiar with a world-class diet by any means, but I imagine it does not often suggest you eat dinner at 11 p.m. Fair?
I think that's fair. Typically, the best athletes we know and the people like Tom Brady sure ain't eating to-go food or restaurant food at 10 p.m. when he was winning Super Bowls.
Correct.
I would doubt Aaron Rodgers did that with how he's talked about his diet and the way he eats. J.J. Watt, famously. The best athletes seem to have that stuff pretty dialed in.
Correct.
Or there's DK Metcalf, who claims he just eats bags of candy throughout the day.
Yeah, 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 that's true. I do that as well.
Chad Johnson said the reason he didn't get injured more is because he ate a lot of McDonald's.
Which he still swears by.
Swears by it.
Swears by McDonald's, which is respect to you. Now, my second point would be, bro, you ever heard of half apps?
Half apps. Are we talking the bees?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. See, we're going to have to...
There's a tweet out there somewhere in the ether from somebody from like 2014.
Glad you brought it up.
That says, when is Alex Stroff not at Applebee's on the east side of Green Bay?
That's embarrassing.
There's a tweet out there that says that.
The bees, I remember when the bees came to just off Moreland Road off of 43. It was a big deal. Me and my friends went there. Me and my family went there. Because the chain restaurant game hadn't really made it out towards the depths of Waukesha County and Maguanago at that. So the bees was a big thing. The bees been passed by. The thing about Green Bay is it's the absolute chain restaurant capital of the world. If you go by per capita, amount of chain restaurants that place has to offer, it is utterly baffling.
Okay, now let's not be disrespectful.
I'm being disrespectful.
I can tell. That's why I'm saying don't be.
Disrespect intended.
Disrespectfully, Green Bay sucks.
No, it does not. Green Bay is a wonderful city.
It's
with
so funny.
Plenty of local restaurants that are open past 10 o'clock.
When people mention the local restaurants, you hear the same four names. There's not a very diverse selection.
Mackinac's, Hagemeister Park, Blue. What's the other one, Rogers?
The pizza
loves?
Place I hear mentioned all the time.
Oh, I'm blanking on the name. I know exactly what you're talking about. Rustique.
Yes.
Yes.
That's when you, when
place
you guys,
is good too.
When
place
you guys
good.
Put on your nicest belt buckle and bow tie, to go out for dinner. That's where you guys go.
So you're calling Green Bay a bunch of rednecks.
When you guys ride your carriage to the restaurant.
Green Bay is not a bunch of rednecks. What are we doing here?
I just thought it would be fun.
I want to hear one more time what Eric Stokes had to say, because he pulled the ultimate Kyle Wallace, which I will bring up later on Kyle Brustin Dortmund. Let's hear from Eric Stokes, the new Raiders cornerback, one more time.
I ain't gonna lie, yeah. I ain't even sugarcoat it to you. Yeah, Green Bay is different. I love Green Bay. I absolutely love Green Bay. But after about 10 o'clock, there's nothing else to eat in Green Bay. So I'm really excited for like the food options here that I can really show my big back activities. And yeah, so I just can't wait.
Big back activities? Is that what you're gonna ask?
Yeah. What did he say there?
Big back activities. I'll really show you my big back activities. Now we might need to bring in the. Young that's here. Is he not back there anymore?
He left. Yeah.
I don't really know what that means. I feel like I have a pretty good sense of the modern slang.
Hey, Will, can you put your mic in the mode that you need it in and answer us? You're the youngest one here. What does big back activities mean?
Big back activities?
That's correct. That's what Eric said.
Just means you like eat, like binge eat, I think. I don't know. I'm not really... I see it on TikTok a lot. I think that's what it means.
Ah... So there, we got an answer. He's apparently serious about his eating.
All right, here we go. I Googled it. The term used in vernacular English refers to folks who have a wide back, a trait usually seen on plus-sized individuals.
So he's saying his eating is similar to that of a large fella.
Which is just what you want to hear out of a new signing.
Your guy who's supposed to be known for his speed.
Yeah. Going to transition to linebacker.
Do you think he saw the commercial with Davante Adams with the Taco Bell in his house and that got him excited?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we really want to break this down, Green Bay does not have a lot to offer.
It is the smallest
yes.
market in American sports.
It has the metropolis of football to offer. It has some nice things, some things you would find.
Great place to raise a family.
I can't argue that. Having not raised one there, but Jason Wilde seems to be doing a good job.
Goodbye, Hunter. Hold on. We got to acknowledge the YouTube stream right now. He found a tweet from Tanner on December 26th, the day after Christmas, 2014. And it just says, when is Alex Stroff not at Applebee's?
2014 is a little late to be still indulging in bees to that degree.
But that's when it just got to Green Bay, I'm sure.
That's true.
I was 16.
Green Bay is going to lose their mind when they figure out joggers exist.
Like the pants?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that. My high school girlfriend's mom bought me a pair of joggers. I still own them. I still own them. I wore them yesterday, in fact. They're my favorite pair of pants. I've owned them for 10 years at this point. Longer than that, I think. Still fit, though, so that's good.
I swear.
No big back activities for me.
I swear I remember it being a big deal when they got a Starbucks for the first time.
Joshy, they got a Starbucks 30 years ago.
You sure about that?
You
Maybe
sure
it was a new
that?
Location.
Well, the Starbucks on the east side of Green Bay moved a block probably about 10 years ago, and it was much bigger, so that was a big deal. But there's always been a Starbucks by Lambeau for a long time.
Is it a good thing for the Packers to have nowhere to eat and raise as much hell after 10 p.m., or is it a bad thing and a disincentive?
Okay, number one, it's not like Green Bay doesn't have clubs or bars or...
It's true. If there's a reason every weekend, the Green Bay Packers are in Milwaukee.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where should we go?
Jordan Love is here frequently.
Do you know that for a fact?
I have been in the same places as Jordan Love.
Why has this never come up?
Because what am I going to say?
Have you ever said anything to him?
No. I mean, he's always in like a VIP.
Go crash it.
No.
You're a cool
guy.
You're not a tool. You're a good guy. I'm making that exact point.
But he gets approached everywhere he goes. Like, I've seen Josh Myers. There's a contingency, and Eric Stokes was one of them, of guys who came down. Either it was often after the game, they would just jet straight down here and then be at the local clubs and bars and hanging out and talking to chicks.
Also for
talking to chicks.
Green Bay. I mean, I remember when it was a huge deal that they got a Chick-fil-A. So
That like, was a big deal. Now, Hunter does have a point there. That was a big deal. That was very recently.
That made the news I lived, up there.
I lived in Madison. They now have three Chick-fil-A's in Green Bay.
One's in Bellevue. It's a bustling metropolis.
It is. I mean, look, your point on chain restaurants isn't wrong. And chain restaurants typically are open until 10 p.m. So Eric Stokes has a point. If he's playing a Sunday night football game and he needs a cheap meal on a Sunday night, it's going to be hard to find. Unless it's like Papa John's.
I believe the team sends you home with food if you so choose. That's my understanding.
So,
but is it deep fried and delicious? It's going to be healthy.
Big back activities.
It's got to be big back activities.
Who wants some grilled chicken and broccoli?
Ugh.
Not Eric Stokes.
No. He's trying to hit up Chili's.
Now, what I mentioned was...
It's a roadhouse for some buns.
Eric Stokes pulled the ultimate Kyle Wallace. And if you don't listen to... Kyle Bristol, Norton, weekdays 2 to 5. You should, first off. Wonderfully produced program. Number two, Kyle will often diss somebody or something.
Yeah, compliment.
But by leading with, I love blank.
Yeah.
But blank. You just heard Eric Stokes go, I love Green Bay. I absolutely love Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But the food does not compare to that of Las Vegas, which, again, is not false. Now, fun fact about me, my father, who obviously is my father, lived in Green Bay for a long time. Thus,
I'm following. Your dad is your dad.
That's why I lived in Green Bay for a long time. My father moved to Las Vegas in December.
Huh.
So him and Eric Stokes, same path. So maybe I'll shoot my dad a text and say, hey, food options a little bit better out there? Just to confirm Eric Stokes' thought.
The thing about Las Vegas, though, is it's like... Now, for someone as young and wealthy as Eric Stokes, you can do whatever and have a lot of fun, but, like, Vegas isn't a great, like, hangout spot. It's like an event, a big deal spot.
Yeah.
Like, you can definitely go out to dinner and have nice dinners, but, like, a lot of them are in casinos. You can't, like, just saddle up to a bar anywhere, really, without having a slot machine in front of you. It's just a little different feel. But here's the thing. I think it works against the Packers, Green Bay, the city, the chain restaurant capital of the United States. But I also think it benefits the Packers for when players do get here. It's a lot harder to get into trouble. And it's a lot harder to let the vices that many of us fall victim to, boozing, chicks, things of that nature, you don't have as many options. So it works out, I think.
So are you saying that Eric Stokes is going to get in trouble in Vegas because of his big back activities?
No, I just think it's easier to find yourself in situations where maybe you're out a little too late.
I'm a little irritated that you're not buddies with Jordan Love.
I mean, famously, it's like good process to bet against NHL teams that are playing in Vegas because they're probably going out, they're probably doing stuff they shouldn't be, and they're probably not ready for game day. That's a famous strategy that people have been using for a long time. My interactions with celebrities is if I see them and I pass them, I'll go, hey, how's it going? Like when I ran into Mike Budenholzer.
Bud.
I ran into him at, it's slipping my name, a bar in the Deer District. And I just said, hey, Coach Bud, what's up? Kept walking.
I did that to Mark Murphy this summer. We were up for the first day of training camp. Or maybe it wasn't the first day. I was meeting somebody at the restaurant in Lambeau Field, which is not open past 10 p.m., by the way.
Yeah, of course not.
And,
great elk stroganoff there.
Is that a joke or is that serious?
No, I had it.
Elk stroganoff. Elk's delicious. Meat, by the way. Yeah. Elk is massively underrated.
Yeah, it's just harder to come by.
So I was strolling through the parking lot going back to my car, which was parked over by the Tundra Trio. And, hey, Mark, how you doing?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing well. How are you? Fine. That was the extent of our conversation.
Yeah, I think most people...
I didn't call him a dork, which I was proud of myself for not doing.
You should have said complicated fella.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah, I'm a complicated fella, too. Say something like that. Keep it moving.
Josh, he's on one today.
He's a complicated fella.
Thought you were coming in and swinging on Green Bay. Why hasn't that happened?
I mean, did you miss the first... I said you guys put on your best belt buckle and bolo tie and ride your carriage to the local Applebee's.
I wore a bolo tie.
And if you didn't get it, most, if not all, chain restaurants, not a good place to go.
That's true.
And there's probably
and there
two-
is the strip right by Lambeau Field that is all chain restaurants, including the Chick-fil-A that Hunter was referencing. Yes.
Yeah.
Made the news.
I'm using chain restaurant as a pejorative.
Uh-huh.
Oh, jeez.
Josh, we've been over this, pal.
I thought that was one everyone knew.
Pejorative? Well.
No idea what the hell that means.
You got Will choking back there.
Pejorative is expressing contempt or disapproval.
Okay. So you do not like...
No.
Got it.
I would much rather go to a locally owned, locally run...
I agree with that. I'm not making the case for the bees in 2025. I was making the case for the bees in 2014 when I was 16 years old.
But it seemed like you didn't understand me calling it the chain restaurant capital of the world or the United States. That was pejoratively. That wasn't a compliment. I meant that as, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, though. You need big places that can house a lot of people for a few times a weekend. It is much harder in a city like that to probably own a locally owned restaurant because the population does fluctuate so much.
It's fair.
And sometimes your carriage's wheel breaks and you can't make it out to dinner that night.
Yeah, they got to wait until Doug Gottlieb gets the powerhouse going up at Green Bay, and then they'll have people all winter showing up. Then you can actually have a good restaurant. It's all Doug Gottlieb's fault.
Yeah. All right, we're moving on to Brian Gutekunst. Is Eric Stokes part of this conversation? Eric Stokes, the former first-round pick back in 2021, as mentioned, obviously signs with the Raiders for $4 million. Josh Myers, the former second-round pick out of Ohio State, the center, signs with the New York Jets for $3.5 million. That equals $7.5 million for those of you keeping track at home. And A.J. Dillon signs a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, the former second-round pick. We do not know the dollar amount, but I'm going to go ahead and assume he got less than $2.5 million. Therefore, that is three either first or second-round picks during Brian Gutekunst's tenure that have signed their second contract elsewhere for a combined less than $10 million, which I think is an indication and once again an indictment on Brian Gutekunst's ability to draft powerhouse talent or superstar talent in high rounds. Now, we will give him credit where credit is due, right? He hit on Jaire Alexander in the first round. He hit on Elgton Jenkins in a middle round. He hit on Jordan Love in the first round. Zach Tom is going to be a mid-round pick. That will get a nice second contract in Green Bay. So those are exceptions. But this is seemingly a trend with Brian Gutekunst. Think of Josiah DeGuara. Think of Jay Sternberger. Think of Amari Rodgers. It's more common for Brian Gutekunst to hit on these valued picks than it's more common for him to miss on them than hit on them, which is a concern. Especially when we've spent the last 2 months having the conversation of, should Brian Gutekunst trade a second-round pick? Should Brian Gutekunst trade a first-round pick? Should Brian Gutekunst trade a third-round pick? And we know how much he likes his picks because, A, they're cheaper, and, B, if you hit on them, you look like a hero. And he'd rather have, we've used the term a lot, more bites at the apple in the draft than risking a second-round pick on a 31-year-old proven talent. But to see now that a first-round pick and two former second-round picks leave Green Bay after playing, for the most part, especially with Myers, he was a starter throughout. Stokes, following the injuries and the Liz Frank and everything he was dealing with, never really got back to Eric Stokes of his first year, which wasn't a bad corner. He's a rookie corner. And, of course, A.J. Dillon, after a year and a half of solid football, stopped learning how to walk and run. This is bad, right? It's not. If you do this in the first and second round more often than not, you are not going to win championships. And if Josh Myers, A.J. Dillon, and Eric Stokes are any indication of what Brian Gutekunst has been capable of in those key rounds, you are not going to win a championship. Now, that is not to say just because he's done that in the past, he's not able to hit on those picks in the future. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying a team that's championship window, we have defined as open, is losing key draft picks from years past, it's hard to backfill that with key contributors right away. That's the big conversation we've had at wide receiver. Yes, they have some nice pieces, but they don't have a proven commodity, a proven concept as a top target. Drafting one in the first round doesn't necessarily change that problem. Signing a Davante Adams changes that. So this is an indictment to a point on his ability in those rounds. That's what frustrates me at this point. Now, again, that's not to say just because it hasn't worked in the past doesn't mean it'll work in the future. Just as of now, you lose these key contributors, these key draft picks, as you're trying to build a championship team. Joshy, when you look at these three picks specifically and what they signed for with the Jets, with the Raiders, and with the Eagles, does that make you go, oh boy, this actually makes more of a case to go ahead and trade a second round pick for a guy like Trey Hendrickson, who is still available out of Cincinnati?
No, wouldn't even make me think twice about it. If we look at this draft in specific, the 2021 draft, Eric Stokes was drafted 29th overall. Behind him went Gregory Rousseau, Udafe Owa, Joe Tyron Schoenka, Tyson Campbell, Elijah Moore, Javonte Williams, Javon Holland, Landon Dickerson. Now, the second round pick of Josh Myers at the end of the second round, which was followed directly by Creed Humphrey, who, as
that's,
we know,
a bad one
on this program, is now a All-Pro and one of the most one of the highest paid offensive linemen in the league. This 2021 draft, aside from like the first, let's look here, 12 picks where Micah Parsons went, not a lot of star power. We've got Landon Dickerson. We've got Nico Collins, Creed Humphrey, but Nico Collins was a third-round pick. Quinn Miners was a third-round pick as well. Some drafts, ooh, down there, fourth-round pick, Amon-Ra St. Brown. This draft was a weak draft. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't, but drafting at 29 does have more and more risk when it comes to getting and retaining talent. I don't think anyone behind him has made a definitive case for Eric Stokes in specific to should have been that pick there based on where all these guys were evaluated and valued at during the time of that draft. It's really easy to do the retrospective on the draft, especially the Creed Humphrey, Josh Myers debacle. I'd love to have Creed Humphrey be one of the highest paid linemen in the NFL on the team right now. Mm-hmm. And that was a miss. And interestingly enough, we all kind of said it was a miss as it happened.
Yeah, that was one of those we diagnosed in the moment we're right about. Yeah.
But when you're building championship teams, you need players that are going to compete and be cheap values. They're going to greatly overperform their pay level and their salary cap. So to keep trading all of those picks or trade more of them, here's the thing. Do I think Goody should be more willing to trade some picks for established stars? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I think he needs to like overcorrect and be trading for someone every year? No, that doesn't make sense to me. I think the draft is and always will be the best tool you have in building your team. The problem is if you are consistently successful, you are typically going to be drafting in those last 10 or so picks,
yep,
which is a disadvantage, but many, many great players do end up there.
Of course.
Throughout the years and the churn, let's say, of talent that comes in. This year is said to be a weaker draft, but we've heard that before, where it's supposed to be a weak draft, and then it's a star-studded lineup of guys up and down the draft in multiple rounds that end up being difference makers on teams. That's just sort of how it goes. Each situation, each player is independent of those players around them, and a lot of times it depends on the situation and the opportunity they get. So I don't like to see that. What the biggest indictment to me out of this whole thing was how much everybody in Green Bay told us how well Josh Myers was playing and what a tool he was. And in retrospect, I think that might have been trying to help him out, like, mentally, give him the support.
A little bit of confidence, yeah.
Yeah, because it, like, everybody who's graded Josh Myers, and now we know the NFL at large, had a chance at him and said, you're not worth all that. That's backup money that he got. Eric Stokes is interesting, because I thought Eric Stokes played really well his rookie year, and I thought the second half of last year he played actually quite well as well. It's just he had injuries, he was a bit inconsistent, and never really ended up being what he was. So to me, those are kind of risks inherent in the draft. I think it's really hard to micro-evaluate each of those decisions, and I certainly think there are bigger misses in terms of what they contributed. Like, look at Jamal Moore. Look at Amari Rodgers. Look at Josiah DeGuara, A.J. Dillon. Even though A.J. Dillon did have moments.
He had a nice stretch, but then...
Yes, but also if you incorporate where he was drafted, you would probably say, yeah, that probably was an overpay. Jay Sternberger. Like, there's names that are littered here that are mistakes, but with how good he's been in the past two drafts, it's hard to not look at that and go, yeah, I want this guy getting a lot of shots.
Yeah, you're right, because the last 2 years have been much better. And, I don't think when these guys hit free agency, if they let any of them walk, which naturally there will be a couple that do.
Right, like if Luke Musgrave has a big year this year and they end up going Tucker Kraft over him, I would imagine Luke Musgrave has a pretty big market.
Yeah, I would guess so too, but that's dependent obviously on a big year this year.
I would bet if they move from Rasheed Walker to Jordan Morgan, that Rasheed Walker would get a lot of interest. Because competent left tackle play is hard to find.
I'm curious if he'll be somebody they would move. I know there's been rumors. I don't think they're actively searching for it.
Yeah, no. I think they would need to know more in training camp and probably into the season, because they want a lot of good linemen.
They do.
Jason Wilde told us. They saw what happened against the Eagles, and they said, not again.
Can't let that happen again.
So having six really good linemen, you have bigger problems and bigger fish to fry.
Here's the thing. I agree with the thought process that Goody went through following seeing what happened to the O-line in that playoff game against Philadelphia. You go out, you sign Aaron Banks, you bring in another good lineman. Obviously, you have a first-round pick in Jordan Morgan, who's waiting in the wings and will compete. We don't know if he'll win one, but he will compete for a starting job on this offensive line next year. But there were season-long problems from last year that to this point of the offseason have not been addressed, right? The big two being wide receiver and edge. They weren't addressed in free agency. We'll get to this in a second, but I think the Packers, in terms of big signings, it's not that there's many to be had, but they're done with that. The draft will be their next big swings to upgrade this roster. I get why he would say, okay, teams are loading up at defensive line. Also in the division are loading up at that position. We need to be able to stop good defensive lines. But the season-long issues of not being able to get after an opposing quarterback, and on offense, the ongoing issues of dropped passes and young receivers making mistakes, those weren't shored up at all. I understand the idea of just assuming that there will be progression to some degree at both of those spots because you're riddled with young players. But it felt to me that those were the bigger issues to address this offseason. And to this point in the offseason, they haven't been addressed. And that's where I go, I'm a little bit worried about what this looks like this season.
Yeah, and I have a hard time disagreeing. I do think what we saw was literally replacing guys that were also viewed as... I mean, there's a potential here that Goody views their needs as big as you do. And he did not, through his evaluation and the work with his pro scouts, determine that any of the players available were either A, worth the cost, or B, good enough to be difference makers as opposed to the guys on their roster. You can quibble with that. I'm not evaluating up and down enough of the players and their production and what they look like because, like, I mean, I saw somebody doing a cut up of Aaron Banks and it made a lot of sense watching him. Like, wow, that guy can move. Yeah. That guy would make a lot of sense in a Josh Jacobs led backfield. That, to me, checks out. Well, he might not grade out as the cleanest or best, but for what they need, he seems to be a perfect fit. And that does matter, especially when you're addressing free agency. When you're bringing in a guy with some veteran time in here, you're not really able to mold them. You're kind of taking what it is and using it to your best advantage. Mm-hmm. I think, short of Davante Adams, which I think we can draw the conclusion, his age is an excluding factor for Brian Gutekunst. And we can agree or disagree with that. I think everyone here, as the Bring Back Devontae camp leaders, would disagree with that. But at least I have context to that. I understand it. DK Metcalf, we agree, probably too expensive. Being paid as a top five wide receiver and not even a top 20 wide receiver in terms of production and all that.
Probably top 20, but close.
At the bottom. Yes. At the bottom
agree.
Of 20.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that.
So at that point, you're like, Devontae makes sense because he would probably be almost guaranteed a 1,000-yard receiver. Who knows if it's 80 catches, 90, whatever it is. He provides multiple
options. He comes in and is your number one receiver. Yeah. Correct.
MVS was the other option that we were talking about because it was such a weak class.
Yeah.
It was also pretty weak at edge rusher.
It was.
I just think from what happened was, we can do a gambling analogy. Sometimes you need to know when to leave the table or leave the machine. And when you get in front of it and you're going, I'm getting out over my skis here, I need to step away. I think there is value and there is lessons and there is solid strategy to building your team with it. I keep coming back to, and Gabe harped on it all day today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, who, in free agency, traditional free agency, who were they supposed to get and improve their team with? And I'm struggling to find, even, I've heard Josh Sweat mentioned.
Yeah, that's the one name I would go to.
And yeah, you could be, I'll give you that. That's one player. That player has to agree, and yeah. You don't have to be massively outbid. Yeah, like, there, it isn't as simple as, we're not doing fantasy draft, and it's our pick,
right.
We get you. So it is more complicated than
right.
that.
It's not that simple, to your point.
And like,
however,
if we were to look at free agency as a whole, there's probably, what, five guys total, when you bring in value of their contract and the player they are, that you're like, yeah, that would have probably made sense yes. to give a shot.
I don't think the list is very long.
No.
I agree with you in theory. But if I was just to say blindly to you, right, you are going to pay a contract of 4 years, $77 million in free agency. Your guess would have been at what position? Because it wouldn't have been left guard.
No. Even though Tausch was telling us, and I wasn't really listening, paying much attention or taking much credence to it, that they were going to pay interior offensive line, which is probably him knowing stuff that he's not telling quite openly. He's hinting at. I would have said, see, but now I have to mix in because I don't think there's a wide receiver that we could have found. Devontae's not getting four for 77.
Right. You would have never paid T. Higgins that. You would have never paid.
You maybe go to edge rusher, but four for 77 seems a little light for what you're wanting.
Correct. But I'll just remind you, Josh Sweat, which is
so
the name we brought up.
Corner is the one spot I would pick four for 77
making
sense. So yeah,
maybe DJ Reed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, but four for 76 is what Josh Sweat signed for in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the same contract, 4 for 77, is what you signed Aaron Banks to.
Yeah.
I want to throw over to Hunter in the Everlight Solar Studio. He's been trying to get in. Go ahead, Hunter.
Well, it's two things here. One actually pertains to the conversation. The other is pointless. The first one here.
We like that.
Josh.
Is this the pointless one or the real one?
This is the real one, okay. Which I realize now might actually come off as pointless. But anyways. Josh, you made a gambling analogy. Why didn't you just quote Kenny Rogers, the gambler, and say, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. You were right there.
Know when to walk away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, that's a great point. I'll take that advice under consideration.
R.I.P. Kenny Rogers.
I think I spent too much time listening to gamblers talk who probably think it's passé to mention Kenny Rogers and no one to hold him, no one to fold him, but it would have been a lot easier and more efficient. So, noted.
I'm not going to ask what passé means. go ahead, Hunter.
And then our second one that is pointless. The Iowa Hawkeyes are getting rid of Fran McCaffrey, a man that I almost got into an altercation with at Middleton High School. You were there, Stroh.
Right. I was there for that.
Yeah.
I was there for that.
Yeah, I'm going to need a story.
Yeah, hold on. We'll get to the story real quick. He was fired or he retired?
Pete Thamel is reporting that sources tell him Iowa is set to dismiss basketball coach Fran McCaffrey after 15 seasons.
What is unbelievable about that, and then we will get to Hunter's almost altercation with Fran McCaffrey last year at Middleton High School, is yesterday Iowa lost, and in said loss, Fran McCaffrey was ejected with 8 minutes left. His final game of a 15-year career at Iowa ended with him watching the end of the game from the locker room.
It kind of fits for him.
He is a interesting character. So to set this up real quick, we were calling a game on Zimmerconda's Prep Mania, which is ESPN Madison's high school coverage. It was me and Dennis Semra. We were at Middleton High School. Hunter was our video producer that night. And this was prior to Will Garlock, who's a senior at Middleton, 7-foot center. He is now committed to the Wisconsin Badgers. But Fran McCaffrey and some of his staff was in town to scout and eventually recruit Will Garlock of Middleton. Now, Hunter, I will let you take it from here because it is a very good story.
So because I was the video producer, I was like, I want some popcorn. So I went to the concession stand, got myself some popcorn. We then realized that the table we had set up in the stands was too far up, so we needed to move it down a row. I have my popcorn box sitting vertically on the table, as Strofe and I are moving it, it tips over and some of the popcorn spills out. During a timeout of this JV game, I go, "My popcorn!" Fran McCaffrey.
Very high pitched.
Yes, and loud. Fran McCaffrey and the entire Iowa staff turn and look at me, and you would have thought that I was a Big Ten official who just teed up one of his guys. And I, for a moment,
his face started getting red.
Yeah. For a moment, I almost did the like turn and like flex, like, what do you want? What are you going to do about it? And that was where I almost got in an altercation with Fran McCaffrey over my popcorn.
I'm going to do my popcorn. I'm going to do something brave here.
Oh, boy.
I side with Fran McCaffrey here only because, and I hope your face is on the screen, Hunter, if I heard that noise come from a guy that looks like you, I would snap around and be like, what the heck just happened over there?
That's a fair point.
You're not wrong, but I was ready to throw hands with Fran for a moment.
Hunter is a, I mean, how do we describe, you're about 6 feet tall, a little shorter than that, a little taller than that?
6 foot, 6'1", like 6 foot and a half.
So I just want to describe Hunter for our visual audience, right? Like he's a tall dude, he's bald, mm-hmm. he has a beard, mm-hmm. he's tatted up.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does not look like an individual that is screaming like a seventh grade girl about popcorn.
He looks more likely to be riding a Harley in a cutoff shirt than he does going, my popcorn! At a high school game.
Again, very true, and you're not wrong. But I felt very defensive in that moment and felt as though, you know what, Fran, if you're going to be coming at me, let's go. Let's tussle.
And to defend you a little bit, if you lose some of your popcorn that you're so excited about, you'd be pretty upset.
Middleton High School does have good popcorn.
They do.
Be noted. It's probably top 10 in the state's power rankings. I got to give a shout out to Marinette High School up north. They have the best popcorn in the state.
I'm out of my depth here.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
We will cut the power rankings of that. But Marinette High School north of Green Bay has amazing popcorn. Like, that is what they are known for. I was kicked out of a game there once, but before I went to my car to drive back, I grabbed some popcorn. They let me buy popcorn prior to the official kicking me out for yelling at him. So there you go. I was kicked out of 8 high school basketball games in high school.
8?
As an athlete?
No, as a student section member.
Jeez, you are a tool.
Yeah, that's excessive.
Yeah. There, you can see one time overeager ref. 8 times.
I got punched by a man once, by like a father. And then he asked me if I wanted to go outside.
I got to say, I think I side with him.
I did not get kicked out of this game, though.
Contextless. I'm on his side, so you're going to need to win me over.
So I was at, I'll leave the high school unnamed. I don't want to incriminate anybody 10 years later, plus 10 years plus later. I was at a game at a high school. My brother happened to live in that city, so he came to the high school and, you know, hung out with me for a little bit. And I was just saying, whoa, like during a free throw. And I think it was this guy's daughter who was shooting free throws.
I would bet.
And he walked over and he punched me on the arm. He goes, you want to, what did he say? I don't even remember what he said. Something like, you want to take this outside? I go, dude, I'm 15. What do you want from me? And then my brother, who happened to be 19, he's like, yeah, we can go outside. And this guy backed off because my brother's a bigger individual. And that was good. That's good. Good times. Anyway, all right. Last thing on the Packers, then we'll move to college basketball. Packers are done making any moves of significance in free agency, right?
Yeah. The only thing I'm keeping the light on is Bith.
Yeah, but that's not even free agency.
Yeah, you can. Here's the thing. These moves kind of get thrown into the mix, and free agency does spur.
I'd love Bith.
These actions.
I'm not confident we're seeing Bith.
I'm keeping the light on.
Keep the light on.
Until I have to turn it off.
By the way, I'm not calling Josh a Bith, and he's not calling me a Bith.
No.
Bith stands for bring like in to. Trey Hendrickson. You can call me Bith if you want. I won't be offended.
No.
All right, fair enough. You're Bith. All right, let's move on to college hoops, man. It is the best time of the year. The next time we talk, we will have a bracket. Let me say that one more time. The next time we do one of these shows, Monday, when we do Mr. Relevant episode 228, we will have a bracket. Come on, Joshy, get a little excited.
What do you want me to go? Woohoo!
Yes, that's exactly what I want.
My popcorn. corn.
There we go. Yeah, very yes. well done. It's exactly what we want out of you. But popcorn! Get your popcorn ready, because it's the best time of year in college hoops. We are into the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. Marquette tipping off against one of the best teams in the country tonight, St. John's. That is a 5:30 tip. The Badgers tipping off in about 20 or so minutes is Tom Izzo being interviewed prior to the or after his quarterfinal win at the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. The Badgers take on Mick Cronin and UCLA. Badgers have a good offense. UCLA good defensively. That is going to be a fun game that tips off here in just a couple of minutes. Badgers are favored by 1.5 in that one following their nice win over Northwestern yesterday. Ended up being a 7-point win, but it was never really that close. The Badgers led throughout. They kind of dominated that game. And Northwestern made a little bit of a push at the end, but it was all Badgers all the time. Now, this is a team that's kind of floundered here towards the end of the season. That loss to Oregon at the end of February was not pretty in overtime. It was a good game, and Oregon's a good team, but it was kind of the start of like, Badgers really aren't playing like themselves. They rebounded with a nice win over Washington, then went to Michigan State and lost. They beat Minnesota by 7 on the road and ended the regular season with a loss to Penn State at the Kohl Center. Penn State sucks, for those of you that are not aware. And the Badgers to only score 75 points in a loss against one of the worst teams of their conference definitely made you go, ooh, what are they going to be made of come March? Now, they have a good opportunity to set up a date and a rematch with Michigan State with a win here in just a bit against UCLA. As for Marquette, kind of a similar story. Down the stretch this season, it was a team that lost their lost their juju offensively. They were scoring less than 80 or 70 points pretty much every game down the stretch, other than a win over Seton Hall. And obviously that loss to St. John's in overtime on Saturday, which was a phenomenal college basketball game, by the way. Just an awesome college basketball game at Fiserv Forum. St. John's, one of the best teams in the country. They are poised for a nice run in the NCAA tournament. And Marquette's going to have their handful tonight. But, you know, I made this shirt, or my girlfriend rather made this shirt back in December. I'm wearing my half Marquette, half Badger shirt that everybody calls me a douche for. And Joshy shakes his head.
That's not completely why, but okay.
But I don't have many opportunities to wear this. And I'm rooting for Marquette. I'm rooting for the Badgers. I'll probably wear it once more next week. And then that's probably going to be it for this shirt for the season. So I had to wear it today with both teams in big matchups. So the question I ask you, and I'll start with you, Hunter, on this one, is which team between the Badgers and Marquette concerns you more come the NCAA tournament? Now, obviously, a lot of this will be dictated by the performance the rest of the week and the weekend. But do you have more of a concern about one of those teams more than the other?
It's probably because of my rooting interests, but it's Marquette. Like, they just make me so nervous because I don't know what team I'm going to get from them. In particular, what David Joplin I'm going to get. We know what we're going to get from Cam Jones. He's going to put up a little bit north of 20 points. He might go for closer to 30, and then that's incredible. But are we going to get the back end of this game yesterday, David Joplin, where he's hitting step back threes and he's blocking?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome down the stretch yesterday.
It's almost like you need angry David Joplin for an entire game for them. And then he's incredible. He's a rim protector. Like, he does everything for them. If he's not playing well,
Hold on, Hunter. I just looked at the video stream.
Yeah.
That's the big M effort from NC State, DJ Burns.
He's playing
overseas, it looks like?
Yeah, we went over this. I'm pretty sure he's playing in, like, South Korea. Yeah, he is our mascot for March Madness until we get somebody else.
Yeah, we'll get a new mascot this year. And I do have a pitch for you coming up in just a second on who that might be. But the big MF for DJ Burns, that run last
year. You can't pitch the cult hero. They have to earn it.
That's a good point. Jack Golke, friend of show, was also the cult hero from last year.
Yeah, and DJ Burns had the luxury of going to the Final Four, which really propelled him.
He did. That's accurate. So Hunter says Marquette. Joshy, I know you're not the biggest college hoops fan in the world, but this time of year you're plugged in, I would assume.
Yeah, and I've watched pretty much the past 6-7 games incomplete for the Badgers. Not as much on the Marquette. I have listened to the broadcast by Homer and T. Smith. Their great call of that they've on the promo I heard.
Holla at you, boy!
Uh-huh. Fun. Like it. Love it. That got me a little fired up, and I don't root for Marquette. I think in terms of worried about, I'm worried about the Badgers greatly underachieving, and it is because of some of the eggs I've seen them lay. I think going into the tournament and losing to Penn State, ouch. The Michigan State game, not fun watch. It seemed like the Badgers could do nothing. Obviously, three-point shooting was a huge mistake, and those are bad nights that are going to happen every so often. I think the Badgers have higher expectations than Marquette does going into this tournament, and I think they are at higher risk of being a one-and-doner. Because when that offense isn't going, which we lauded all season long of how exciting they're scoring 100 points, yeah, they're right. averaging 80. When they lay eggs in impressive ways. And it seems like scoring buckets is a near impossibility. Now, Max Klesman coming back helps. Certainly helps. We saw it help just yesterday.
Yep.
But they seem to be so inconsistent right now. And as the competition rises and they're not playing teams that don't deserve to be in the tournament, how's that going to look? And I think they're also susceptible on defense, and they run the risk of just getting a bad matchup and standing no chance.
Yeah, that's why I'm really intrigued to see what today looks like, because UCLA is one of the better defensive teams in the country, and the Badgers are obviously one of the better, if not the best, in terms of points per game, offensive teams in the country. Now, this team is only going to go as far as your bigs take you, right? You know what you're going to get from John Tanjay. You know what you're going to get from John Blackwell. You know, Max.
Do we know what we're going to get from John Tanjay? Because I feel like he has a tendency to disappear.
In big moments, sure, but you know you're going to get 15 to 20 points from him a night. I think that's a given.
I sure hope so.
I do believe, though, you're only going to go as far as your bigs take you. It comes down to Nolan Winter and Stephen Crowell, especially on the defensive side. If you match up with a team that is really good at forward and center, you are in trouble.
I mean, the amount of times I watched Michigan State run
Great
some
example.
Pick and roll
Great example.
To an alley-oop that was completely uncontested. I mean, that was, if you don't think a team with some good mobile bigs is going to do that to you the first time you see them and just run it. It's like spamming a play in Madden that drove you nuts. Your friend kept doing it. You couldn't beat it. They just kept doing it. It felt like, how is this? What are we doing? And that clearly is an advantage for opposing teams.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So you said I cannot pitch a cult here.
You can enter him into the ring. We are going to let the tournament and its action determine the cult here.
So the Southern Conference tournament is in the books. Wofford, the Terriers, entered the conference tournament as a 6 seed.
Won some money on Wofford.
They got hot. They won the SoCon. Wofford has punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament.
Wofford. What are they? Logo?
Terriers.
Yes,
they're the Terriers. So I've been doing some research. Whenever a mid-major team like the SoCon, right, and Wofford, whenever they punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament, I like to read up on them because these are typically the teams that will get an early round upset, right? You might get like a 13-4 matchup or a 12-5 matchup. These are the teams you need to study, right? Like James Madison last year was the popular pick to beat the Badgers in the first round. Wofford is going to be one of those teams to keep an eye on. And something that I noticed while watching the SoCon championship game the other night for Wofford, which they ended up winning, because they have a big man. His name is Kyle Filewich. Okay? Very good. Nice rebounder. Good score. Averages just short of a double-double for them. But the thing about Kyle Filewich that is going to take people off guard when they watch Wofford next week is he is an underhand free throw shooter. He's a potty shot free throw shooter. But here's the thing. We've seen potty shot free throw shooters before. And typically, they're good, right? They're like 80% free throw shooters. It works for them. For Kyle Filewich, it doesn't work for him. He is a career 37% free throw shooter. He is shooting 32% from the line this year. And he still commits to the granny shot, despite being almost 7 feet tall. He needs to shoot the ball straight. He goes with the arc. He goes with the granny shot. And he stinks at it. But he's a good basketball player, which is a little bit confusing.
Imagine how awful his regular shot must be if 30% and sticking to the... Like, did he pivot to the potty shot? The granny shot midseason?
I don't know the answer.
Because I'm looking at a picture of him here, and I'll click and follow the link. He seems to be attempting a free throw the normal way, and this was as of April 2nd, 2024. So this is last year. This might be a new pivot to him.
It looks like it changed about 5 weeks ago is when he started doing it. So, he's bad at free throws no matter what. It hasn't gotten a whole lot better. In the championship game against Furman the other night, I just want to get the box.
The Paladins.
I miss a couple. Yeah, he was three for seven. So it's gotten a little bit better. 3 for 7 in a championship game and a nice 7-point win for Wofford the other night.
I have another,
somebody to keep an eye on that.
I have an entry to this one, and it's not even a player.
It's a coach?
It's the young man, the trainer, or the assistant for McNeese State.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this fella.
Oh boy, McNeese State.
Awesome. No, Wade.
McNeese State does what we've seen the 49ers do. The boombox, they walk out of the tunnel, they're all rapping along, singing along. Well, this fella, and I forget his name, I should be able to find it here with a quick Google. Hunter might be able to do it faster than me. This little fella, not very tall, a little pudgy.
Yeah, you just called him little fella. Oh, I got a video of it. Oh, boy.
Yep.
So Amir Khan.
Amir Khan. He comes out, he raps every single word to these Kodak Black songs, and no, He's a hip hop head. He knows what he's doing there, and the team loves him obviously because a much shorter guy rapping all the words to Kodak Black, that's going to get you fired up. So McNeese State did punch their ticket.
They did.
They win a couple games. We're getting features on this fella.
Yeah, no doubt. Like Jen Latta is going to have to do a feature on E60 about him.
Uh huh.
Now I got to look.
He's a living mascot. For McNeese State.
Now, McNeese, they were in the tournament again last year. And, you know, 19-1 this year. Their schedule's a little bit better than it was a year ago because they were playing some wild schools last year. Their second game of the series, or of the season this year, was a 111-57 win over the College of Biblical Studies.
Boat raced them.
Other than that, you've heard
time to hit the court, less time in the Bible.
On my birthday, December 7th, which was the same day, by the way, Wisconsin played Marquette.
Thank you for mentioning that it was your birthday.
It's just what happens in my head, man.
Yeah, it's hard. How can this be about me?
Laterno, you know what that is?
No. Laterno, that's a famous name, I believe, of a...
Oh, look,
beat them 103-69. But yeah, McNeese has only lost one game since December 22nd. So they've been pretty good. So definitely a team to keep an eye on as they win the Southland Conference Tournament. All right, let's get to what we learned because we've got quite a bit to get to here. You learn something new every day. We learned something new today. It's time now for what we learned. Bill Belichick is the new head coach at the University of North Carolina, right? Dipping his toes into the college football pool. There was a video earlier in the week that showed Belichick dapping up a bunch of recruits very awkwardly. You okay?
I just remembered who it is.
Who? What is?
Mary Kay Letourneau.
Who is that?
She was the woman who had the teacher who had a relationship with her 16-year-old high school student and had a child together. Very famous story. Very famous. No wonder it's string about. Because I believe they maintained her. She went to prison and they maintained a relationship after it. Mary Kay Letourneau. Not shout out to her. Not shout out. I want to make that clear. I'm not shouting her out, but I know why I know her now.
I saw Josh. I was trying to transition, and I looked over to Josh, and he looked both shocked and in stitches. And it looked like a face where he's like, "Do not throw to me. Do not tell. Do not acknowledge when I'm laughing."
I was hoping it was like an old Brewers baseball player. Not quite. Not quite. Bad.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
We're doing live entertainment here. Sometimes things happen.
Sometimes you miss, right? Like sometimes it just happens. And that one, it seems like every Friday we have some sort of Joshy mess up. Last week was my favorite though because he was in the middle of like a serious Packers rant. Like Joshy was a little upset last Friday, and then all of a sudden in the middle of the rant, without changing his tone whatsoever, he goes, "Woman with horns, woman with horns."
I think both of these things. See, this situation with Mary Kay Letourneau.
You can't deny love.
Is, well,
strike that from
the record. I'll put that out. That's not where I was going. It was one of those things where I know that name. Why do I know that name? And in this situation, I probably shouldn't have verbalized it. But once I did, I was like, well, I got to know who then. And I said, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
See, I looked it up and was just going to let it go. And then you just had to say it.
Wait, so I'm going to ask. Look, we're all thinking it. I'm going to ask the stupid question. I know the answer is no, but I'm going to ask it anyway. This university that McNeese played, it's not named after her, right?
No. If I were to guess, RIP to Mary Kay Letourneau, by the way.
Oh, she's dead?
Yeah, 58. Sad. 2020.
What year did this story come out?
97.
Oh, that's before I was born.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember this story because it was classic, like something you would see on like Oprah at the time. Or
sure.
Yeah.
By the way.
And they stayed together?
Yeah.
The university named after their founders who were famous inventors. They invented a bunch of like earth moving equipment. So basically like caterpillar kind of stuff. Yeah, construction.
Yeah, Joseph chimes in on the YouTube chat. It's a huge piece of construction equipment similar to caterpillar wheel loaders. So there you go. Don't know what that means either, but that's fine. All right, let's get back to Bill Belichick.
A lot of auxiliary information there.
So we saw a video of Bill Belichick earlier in the week dapping up recruits and awkward daps because we know Bill, right? Like he's cold-blooded. He didn't like his players in New England. He liked that they were good at football. And then after they won a Super Bowl, maybe they'd get a hug. But he's not dapping them up other than when Randy Moss invited him to a Halloween party. I think he might have dapped them up then, but regardless. Then an email was leaked from December of Bill Belichick that said, hello, can you please attach Jordan, being his 24-year-old girlfriend, on every email you send going forward? Now, a couple of things we need to point out. Number one, hire an assistant. Number two, it turns out that this was strictly about marketing and social media, which means Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's much, much, much younger significant other, is running his social media accounts. And once again, I say, hire an assistant, bro. Mm-hmm. There's an intern that would be happy to run the Bill Belichick Twitter account that was created 3 months ago.
I'm sure UNC would pay that person.
I do, too.
Probably pretty well, too.
Pretty certain.
Wait, but she's instead, not getting paid yet, is she?
Maybe she is.
It's public record. They are a university, and that's how these came out, right?
No, I think these were leaked.
I believe...
The emails, you mean?
Yes.
I believe the emails were leaked. You can't read Bill Belichick's emails.
Don't know if that's correct, because when you are a state institution, you can have your emails read. That's why there are often cases of missing emails, email servers maybe not in the proper location when it comes to government involvement.
Josh is too damn smart for the show. Okay, so we gotta have a talk. We gotta have a show meeting real quick.
Okay.
You gotta tone it down on the show, man.
What? You want me to be dumber?
Yes!
It is kind of the theme for the show.
I think I'm bringing maybe a necessary factor.
I don't know that I would say.
I'm raising our floor. I'm saying nothing about ceiling, because I think, as we've learned, dumb is good oftentimes. But sometimes we should bring up the floor.
All right. I guess I would argue with that. So there you go. Hunter, you got an email.
Yeah, thanks. Didn't know that was on.
Girlfriend?
Jordan Hudson just emailed you?
No, let's take a look.
About me?
No, there's something going on at the Avenue. I don't know why I'm still on that email chain, by the way.
Oh, we got corned beef sandwiches upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, we better end the show.
See beef?
It's St. Patrick's Day on Monday. I'm going to a parade tomorrow. I actually just got put on a VIP list.
Wow.
Just found that out.
I'm going to Prep Mania tomorrow. Sectional finals.
Big one. Hey, speaking of Prep Mania, Hunter, the Dean, Dennis Semrau, Billy Kegler, the coach, on the call last night, Oregon versus Wanakee.
Verona, Wanakee.
Boys basketball. Well, excuse me. Verona, Wanakee, the other orange school in the Madison area. On the call last night. And, I don't know if I should be irritated or honored that this happened, because me and Dennis Semra had a little thing when I used to call games with him. Take a listen to what Hunter did. And Josh, I'm going to let you be the judge, jury, and executioner on whether I should be honored or irritated. Take a listen.
They're going blow for blow with 9:30 to go in this first half. Oh, and Caden McKenzie. No. nothing but net on the triple. He's got 11 of the 21 for the Warriors.
Just a momentary lapse. He tried to go under the ball screen, and Caden stopped and popped.
Murphy, Dennis, anything you can do.
Yeah, I can do better.
Anything you can do, I can do better. That was a thing Dennis Semra and I did for years when you would have a play and then obviously a response with the same thing. So a three-point, three-point. Joshy, Hunter, should I be irritated or honored? Are they paying homage to a guy that's still alive?
Can I add more context first? Because
that's up to Joshy. Judge, jury, and executioner Joshy.
I don't think you need context because I'm on your side here.
Okay.
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. One. Two, Dennis Semrau's still there. Hunter still works closely with you. It's a fun little thing they can do. Loyal listeners to Zimbraconda's Prep Mania will recognize that and go, oh, that's nice. And when they recognize it, they think of who?
Dennis.
You. I think it is. Let's be honest here. You're not Bob Uecker.
I'm not. That's accurate.
You don't have a famous home run call. You're not Berman.
That's not a bad Berman.
So this little, I think this is fun. There's still a remaining member. I think it's well within reason.
Thank you.
Dennis loved it.
Yeah.
Dennis did love it.
Yeah. Nice. And that's important. Keeping your partners happy. You should try it more.
Are you saying you're unhappy?
No, but maybe I could be.
See, and I only started doing this because in a football game, Dennis did it unprompted back in the fall.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Dennis loved doing that with Strofe. I'll keep it going because I want to keep Dennis happy because he is one of the sweetest human beings on the planet.
Nobody deserves to be more happy.
One of the nicest people I've ever met. So nice. I thought he had ulterior motives the first year I met him.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Who's that nice? Who's that nice? What is that?
I think I'm that nice.
No.
No, God, you're not.
No. You're 6%, Dennis.
You know what? I'll take it.
Everyone should be 10% more Dennis.
All right, so what we learned is Hunter loves me, and Bill Belichick needs to hire an assistant.
Yeah.
I think we've done well today. We're going to have a bracket on Sunday. We're going to have a bracket to break down on Monday. We're going to have some college basketball guests and talk next week as we lead you into the NCAA tournament and continue to hash through the NFL offseason. Joshy, it looks like you have something to say. Do you have something to say before we sign off?
No.
Okay, would you like to tell everybody to have a good weekend?
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
You got anything planned?
Doing a show tomorrow with Alex G, 10 to noon, on these very programs here. You can find it on YouTube and both ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison radio stations. Other than that, I got to clean a car this weekend.
So as in like vacuum the interior?
Vacuum, and as somebody who used to, as a profession, be a car detailer.
Wait.
Prior to my job here at Good Karma Brands, I was a car porter. So I worked at a dealership.
Okay.
I cleaned, washed, waxed the new cars, and then all the used cars we bought in, I had to then completely flip and make them look brand new.
I think my greatest downfall as a professional radio guy is
life experience.
Because I got into this career right out of school.
Well, let's be honest here. It's also your greatest benefit because you came in way ahead of 99% of people who enter the radio business.
Yeah, you know, I fail to realize that sometimes. Yeah. I am very lucky in that degree because
you worked at it. It's not
I worked
like,
my ass off,
yeah,
right.
But
lack cool stuff like that, though, right? Like, all I have to look back on is I served tables at a breakfast diner that was split with a gas station for a year, and then I worked at Lids as a part-time job for a while.
That's a Green Bay ass sentence.
Yeah, well, I was actually in Green Leaf. no marijuana jokes need to be had.
I also worked at a bottle cap making factory.
I almost swore. I almost said the F word. So, what does that mean?
The bottle caps you find on a Heinz ketchup bottle, on your shampoo bottles, on your water bottles. I was working the machines that were injecting them into molds dropping them out and sorting them.
Hunter, if we did a, so we've been doing, and by the way, please subscribe if you haven't already, Mr. Yes. Relevant Podcast Feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course right here on YouTube, but on the podcast feed specifically, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we've been dropping some bonus content on there, just to give you a little thank you for joining us that way. Do you think people would be interested in a Joshy DiMaggio career background episode sometime in the next few weeks?
I think so. I mean, if we really wanted to get into it, we could make this a multi-part series because I steam cleaned carpets for about 2 years and I worked at a gas station and a hardware store.
That's the one. Okay. Power rank, gas station number one, most interested in that.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I painted houses.
Okay.
Like exteriors.
So is that spray paint? Did you have to wear a mask?
No, I had to hand paint.
Save it for the series. I want to dive into everybody's career background.
We could probably, and the series should be Hunter and me because, let's be honest, these jobs I had weren't that exciting. I've got like one or two stories from each we're sharing.
I mean, you did have a gun pulled on you at one point.
I did. Yes. Uh-huh.
We'll save that for the series. Anyway, if you haven't already, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Strofe is the podcast title. Just make sure you find that. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. Josh, good work this week. Hunter, good work this week. Appreciate all that you guys do. We will be back at it Monday. We're going to break down the bracket. We will continue to parse through the NFL offseason as it continues. Where will Cooper Kupp end up? Probably not in Green Bay is the answer. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the basketball. Stay safe. Make decent decisions. We will talk to you on Monday beginning at 12:30 Central. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. For Joshy, for Hunter, I'm Alex Strofe. Peace.